Welcome to VFN Radio. It is wonderful Monday. Welcome, welcome Monday. We are full of the blessings of God. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me to encourage you to set the pace for this week in a conversation that's going to enlighten us by the will and the desire of God, Tyson with his mic. And doing that is John Ramos.
Hello, hello, hello.
Also, the producer of VFN Radio, Tyson himself. Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
We're working our way out of that one. Good day.
Yes, it is.
Give a happy shout out birthday to all of our birthday celebrators out there. Happy birthday to you. We want to welcome all of our new audience members to VFN Radio. We're going to welcome Beverly and Bill and Andrew and Harold and Pam and Bruce and Lloyd and Diamondback? What a name. You know, Andy and Roy and Carly and another Randy, Aaron, Lee, Robert, Arlie, Bill, Danielle, Erwin, so many. We just want to, well, can't even read them all. Thank you for joining us. Our audience continues to expand around the world. Welcome to the virtual stadium, VFN TV, and the daily VFN radio program. We're here to encourage you on this wonderful journey, this gift called life. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me to encourage you in this conversation is John Ramos.
Good morning.
And Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Well, here we are. It is Monday. It is Monday. Monday. I don't know if you saw the Saints play on. I didn't get a chance to see it, but Donna comes running to me and tells me what happened with what the particular play that the Saints had made on Sunday. And I heard it was good. They did a play. I don't know what it was. It was some sort of play because I missed it. I figured I was going to go turn on the television and see what it was in reruns or something. Mm-hmm. But it didn't happen. I turned it on at a bad time.
That was probably most of the game.
Was it?
Did you not know the score?
No, I just, you know, obviously Donna was telling me to go and look.
Oh.
And so, you know, I was, you know, laying before the Lord. And, you know, there's other teams. That's all Detroit. I said the Detroit Lions, though. The Detroit Lions were beating Green Bay. I'm thinking, this doesn't even make sense. But it was snowing on them.
Oh,
wow. Snowing on them. And these guys had, well, obviously, they had big biceps. That's why they had no sleeves. Their sleeves are up here. But you know, the guys that don't have any, their sleeves come all the way down.
Oh, yeah. They cover those up.
It's amazing when you don't work out how you find shirts to cover your body. But it's like you can't find any material to cover it when all of a sudden you're working out.
Yeah, right.
You know, I try not to show my 12-pack. You know, I don't keep that on. Anybody, I don't want anybody to feel
you.
Bad.
Thank yet. You.
So I have it highly insulated with a lot of padding, and only the Lord knows it's there. It is amazing what is taking place in the world today. You know, we always talk about not necessarily the news as much as, you know, God's news behind the news. And the one thing I want to first, you know, we're 15 days away from celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from Christmas.
Yes.
And, I'm so excited about it, and I really like what, you know, Barbara's saying out of Texas and Kichara and Teresa saying in Jersey. He's, you know, we need to focus. This is not just, it's not just like a pretty saying. We really need to understand that we need to put in the minds and the hearts of the church, of believers.
Yes.
You know, not the world, but we got to put Christ back in Christmas in the dialogue. And there's a movie that's just being released. You got to see it. Maybe we'll have a trailer of it on the VFN Torch, but it's called Last Ounce of Courage. You know, we got to get some courage. We got to be willing to let go of all the gifts you get to be able to bring Christ, the gift, back into Christmas. And we're willing to forego a few things. A lot of people are willing to go through some great suffrage for some really crazy things like trees and things.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Tree huggers and,
right.
you know, put them as crazy what people go through. And it's like, you know, we need to do that. We need to stand up. Even if it means that. In America, it doesn't necessarily mean that. There's freedom. There's mm-hmm. freedom in America. And putting Christ back into Christmas. But it, and it's amazing, too, is how, you know, the people that some people, they want to deny Christ, Jesus mm-hmm. Christ.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But yet they want to celebrate his birthday.
Come on now.
You yeah. know, and they want the benefits that mm. come from what the world has turned Christmas into.
And they even show a holiday.
They even show up with a Christmas gift list of things they want on his birthday. You right. don't live for him all year long. You don't right. acknowledge him at your workplace. You don't say you want to live your marriage the way he says mm-hmm. marriage should be. You don't want to live as a child, you know, supposed to in the family. You don't want to acknowledge him before all and live an abiding lifestyle with him. But yet you got a gift list on his birthday.
Mm.
I am just shocked. It's like how embarrassing. I mean, there's like 365 days in the year. Why would you want your gifts list on his birthday that you don't even acknowledge ever even came to earth in the first place?
Mm. Mm. And you have a birthday.
And you have a birthday. Can you imagine? And this is what I always thought, but it's true. Imagine it's your birthday. You've been focused on your birthday. You know, obviously you're a young person and you're focused on your birthday. Well, no, I've seen some others that are focused on their birthday and they're thinking about them all month long. They thought about themselves and they're excited about it. And they know their friends and family are having some big surprise party. And then they show up, you know, waiting for this big thing that they said mm-hmm. they're going to be surprised by.
Mm-hmm.
And they walk in and it has this big banner, you know, saying happy birthday, but it doesn't have your name on it. It has somebody mm-hmm. else's name on it. You know, I mean, that alone, you know, it just kind of like, you know, you're going to be shocked.
All right.
But then you go to the birthday cake and the birthday cake's got that same person's name. I don't even have your name on it.
Mm.
And then all your friends and family that bought you gifts, you don't even know who got you the gifts because they didn't put their name on it. They said it came from somebody else that nobody doesn't even exist. It's like, I need therapy. What's going on here? Is this my birthday or what? I mean, this is crazy. They're saying it came from some saint somewhere, you know, and I thought I saw him in the store buying that gift for me, but he put somebody else's name on it and said he came on the rooftop. What, the rooftop? My roof? He better stay off of my roof. That cost me thousands of dollars. You know, if you want to come to me, you need to come to my front door.
And don't you fall off it. My insurance ain't going to cover it.
I know, you know. And this saint, dude, he could have 365 days. If your name is so powerful and it's so important, why don't you take another day? Why take Jesus' birthday? Mm. I don't care how pretty you are or how well you dress. It ain't your birthday.
That's right.
It's not your birthday. And we've got to put, and listen, you have people professing all day long that says, you know, this is all about Jesus. But when you go, you know, into their home, it's like, well, who is this fat dude? And what's going on? And who you leaving cookies out for? You know, Jesus is going to come back, but he's not going to come back for milk and cookies. He's going to come back to be able to take the church with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Mount of Olives is going to split. We got to make up our mind. Are we going to, you know, continue with traditions that nullify the word himself,
mm-hmm.
you know, or are we going to say, you know what, take any day you want to. By the way, if you do take some other day, they won't celebrate you because they're only, you had to mix it in with somebody very, very important to be celebrated. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why they take his day.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they take his day. And so, you know, I don't want to, you know, crumble your cookies or nothing, but it's Jesus' birthday. I mean, it was dark. Think about it. It was for almost 400 years of gross darkness on the face of the earth. God's people didn't look anything like his people because they were all in all this darkness and all these terrible things were going on. And, you know, what happened? These prophets had talked about in the Old Testament, you can read it, they talked about this coming of a Savior and that God was going to bring this Messiah and he was going to, but we're a mess. I mean, we are a mess. Prostitution in the temple, all these things are going on.
Oh.
But all of a sudden, despite all of that, and there was just a few people. I mean, there was just a few people. If you go back, the Bible just talks about a few people that were waiting and they were praying and believing that God was going to send somebody. But it wasn't a huge army of people. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a few priests. You know, and then the priests didn't believe it when mm-hmm. he started talking. The answer showed up, and they go, "As a matter of fact, you're not going to be able to talk for a while because you're just going to mess up my plans, right?" John's dad, and so So then, you know, the angel shows up and begins against John the Baptist's dad. Says, listen, this is what I'm going to do, but just, you're going to mess it up. Mm-hmm. So even though you've been praying about this, this is my plan. You've been agreeing with me. And so he couldn't talk. But then all of a sudden, you know, Mary, this young virgin girl that was pledged to be married to this man named Joseph, you know, was going about her day. And just suddenly the plan of God, you know, an angel, a messenger from God, Gabriel himself, mm-hmm. who stands in the presence of God, stood in the presence of Mary and began to talk to her and says, you found favor. Ooh. She didn't find no Santa Claus. She found favor with the creator of the world.
That's right. Come on.
This is awesome. Don't let anybody steal this. We're about to lose our nation because the church has lost their Lord in their heart. We've got to begin to reboot in what Christmas is about, because if you miss Christmas, you miss everything. Mm. Because outside of the birth, life, death and burial of Jesus Christ and resurrection, listen, we are lost. There is no hope for mankind. And so this is the reason for the season, that all of a sudden Gabriel says, listen, Mary, you found favor with God. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's powerful. I mean, can you imagine? It's just like the creator of the universe showed up and just said, Pat, mm-hmm. you found, the Lord has been thinking about you. I mean, think mm-hmm. about it. No, awesome.
Yeah. Huge.
And then good thoughts. Mm-hmm. Which is even more awesome, right? I mean, it's powerful. I mean, because, you know, no teenager feels confident about themselves. Mm-hmm. Although a teenager back then were appreciated for the brains that they have. But today, you know, society thinks that teenagers don't have brains and you don't right. have to, they don't need to get functional until they're around 18 years old. And because of that, they are smart and intelligent. They end up turning in on themselves, mm-hmm. trying to figure out what to do while they're playing virtual things instead of just getting involved and getting a job and getting responsible and that type of thing. That's another day. And here she is. And he says, you found favor with God, that you are going to have a child. You're going to have a child. And she's thinking, well, yeah, I'm going to marry Joseph. And, you know, we're going to have a few kids. We're going to have a few goats and camels, you know, the normal, you know, Jewish dream. And, and in that, he says, you found favor with God, that you are going to have a child. The Spirit of God is going to hover over your womb, and he's going to impregnate your womb. The egg of woman with the seed of God are going to connect. The hope of God is going to be encountered inside your womb, Mary. You have found favor with God. The hope of all mankind is going to start inside of your womb. Mm. I mean, this is power. You can see where the Catholic Church is kind of like, you know, kind of went a little too far in the 50s and the 60s and started, you know, lifting her to a place she shouldn't, because that's pretty awesome, but she's mm-hmm. not God and right. she's right. not access to him. But understand that that's what happened. And all of a sudden, you know, she's just awed with us and she's thinking about it, but all of a sudden it happens. Mm. And now she's carrying around the promise of God in her womb. What is that the government of God will be on his shoulders and he will rule forever. Mm. The King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, the Messiah, was conceived in the womb of woman by the Spirit of God. Listen, Christmas is what, it's, oh my goodness, how did it come about anything else? It's the gift of God unto salvation. Hmm. The gifts that we give are like gifts imitating, understanding that we got the gift of God, which is Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. It's not about your Xbox and your Nintendo or your diamonds. Or your digital device. It is about understanding that that was the day that we celebrate that God gave us the gift, his son. For God so loved the world that he gave the greatest gift of all, which was his son, Jesus Christ. And so she had to walk around with a savior of all mankind in her womb, never slept with a man before. She's a virgin and she's got to go to her promised husband and try to explain this thing. Mm. I mean, you talk about a dilemma. Hmm. This is the day that they would stone you for having any relationships outside the context of what God said that they should be. Obviously, if you read about it, they didn't do too much stoning because they did a lot of sinning. And so with that, understanding that here she was, my goodness, this is what Christmas is about. And as soon as she went and told, you know, John's daughter, John's mother, about John the Baptist's mother, about what was going on, John even jumped inside of her womb, Elizabeth's womb. Why? Because the the one who was going to prepare the way for the one who was going to prepare the way. They were both together. The promise of God was coming. Listen, Christmas is something to be so excited about. Listen, reclaim Christmas. Mm. Reclaim it. Understand that this is about the most awesome thing that could ever happen. If it doesn't matter what else happened in all creation, if this day did not happen, if God would not have given us the gift of his son, it would be over. This is just a time to be celebrated. Listen, when you're singing songs, you know, joy to the world. Listen, you were repeating words that angels declared to the shepherds when they found out that Jesus was born. This is not some songwriter who wrote that up. He said, listen, joy to the world. You know, let there be peace on earth, goodwill to all men, God's hope for us. This is a day. We have to begin to reclaim the Christmas carols and songs about Christ and his birth and what Christmas was about. And, just we need to recapture that. We need to hit the streets again in the area of the communities we've been praying for in our Luke 10 prayer walks and begin to get a group of us to go around from house to house and begin to sing the wondrous songs that the angels sang about that the Christmas carol, what Christmas is about. Christmas is not about you getting what your flesh wants. It's giving you what God gave you if you choose to take the gift of salvation that he offered to you on this day. Oh. And people say, well, you know, we've come so far away from the meaning of Christmas, even to talk about this reality, some people get offended. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you're really going to be offended at the judgment seat of Christ because Christmas is about Christmas. Mm-hmm. You can put an X in front of it, by the way, which, by the way, is a Greek letter for meaning for Christ. So you can even do that. It even happens based on my understanding of that. And you just can't take, you can just do away with the day, but you can't do away with the fact that we tell time by this. Mm-hmm. A man tells time by this. We tell time by the birth, death, and a resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what that means. You know, BC means before Christ, not before X. It's not BX. That's a bike, right? BMX. It's BC, before Christ. And everything's measured in the epicenter. Why? Because the creator of the world, the universe, wanted to have a relationship with you. That's what Christmas is about. You sing, don't let the joy be taken from you. Don't go blow your money, Visa's money, MasterCard's money, your HELOC money, your home equity loan money, borrowing money from your friends and dig into your cookie jars and to put yourself in debt and realize that Jesus Day is about God saying, I got my gift, my son that's born that's going to take your debt. Don't ruin the day by creating financial debt on top of you because you're a slave to the lender. It's a shame that the day that we celebrate that we can be free because the Savior was born, that it ends up in bondage and debt to some particular lender.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, come on. So this is a day. We got to reboot. We got Christ back in Christmas. Think about it. We're 15 days away from the actual day that we celebrate, which more than likely wasn't the actual day of his birth, but we picked a day. But understanding that we're celebrating this and understanding that 33 years, he would be born for the purpose of dying, born to die. He would be born and 33 years later, he would die. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Born to die. Why? For you and me. That's what this is about. And understand that Christ and Christmas are synonymous. You can't, even if you take away all the different things, I mean, think about the tree. You know, where did the tree, you can come up with 1,000 different things, but let me tell you what it can represent to you. It says, cursed is every man that hangs on a tree. Not a cross, but on a tree. A cross is made from a tree. It's wood. Mm-hmm. And Jesus became a curse for you. Took on the curse that he didn't deserve so that we could be set free from a curse. And he is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. And when you put lights on a tree, you're representing that Jesus was on that tree. Mm. Somebody says, well, I don't know what this tree thing's about. Begin to use it as a witness of what Christmas is about. And why do you put gifts under it? Because the gift of salvation, that he let captivity, he let us free. I mean, the gifts, we celebrate that we were free. We were set free that day, that God made a way for us. This is what Christmas is about. Quit apologizing for it. And if your boss, you know, if you are a Christian, you stand up for God in your workplace, don't let your boss tell you that you cannot acknowledge God. That is unconstitutional. Right. It is illegal, and they cannot do that.
That's right.
They cannot do it, nor can they actually stop anybody else from whatever they're actually in their beliefs. And mm-hmm. so don't worship your job over God. And understand this. If we do that, you won't have a job. If you're mm-hmm. noticing that 23 million people don't, by the way. Mm-hmm. And so with this, it's the greatest gift we can give back to God this Christmas is to repent for taking him out of it. Repent for laying back and letting like the ACLU just kind of kick back and sue little dinky towns like Century and threaten them and saying, hey, listen, if you put up that manger scene like you've been doing for these years, you know, Century, Florida, this is a little small rinky dink town. And they said it was worn out. So they said, we're just not going to buy it. We're not going to do it anymore. And it's like, what are we doing? Mm. What are we doing? I mean, the Pew Research says that 70 some odd percent of, you know, surveyed people in America, Americans profess to be Christian. So go with it. You know what I'm saying? Go with it. Right. Most America's for you. You know, most That's of right. them's for you. And why would you do that? You are a citizen. You are a human being. You happen to have been elected to office. You didn't change your humanity, nor did you change your accountability before God. And you're going to have to answer alone before God. No witnesses or no suspects. I don't care if you're a councilwoman or a councilman or a county commissioner or you're a governor or a senator or a congressman. It doesn't matter. You're going to have to answer alone. And if you bow down to a threat that somebody's going to take your two pennies from you because if you put up a manger zine that basically had Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus in it, which represented a gift from God. I mean, come on, you don't have to take the gift, but why not talk about the gift?
Hello.
I mean, come on, we've got to stand up. And that movie, Last Ounce of Courage, you got to get it. You got to get it on DVD, you know, and just it'll remind you. And that's a quote from President Ronald Reagan before he was president early on, because he began to see what was happening in the 60s and the 70s and how America was just crumbling before our eyes. There was like, the assassination of President Kennedy, the assassination of Dr. King, the assassination of Robert Kennedy. We had people that were blowing up government buildings, people marching in the streets. There was the sexual revolution where, you know, you had Woodstock and just free love and communal living. And I mean, everything that you could imagine going wrong was going wrong. The streets were just filled with what they call were hippies, but were transient people that were barefoot and shirtless and just kind of migrating, trying to find themselves. And in the midst of all that, God moved. God moved. I believe it's called the Latter Rain Movement. I'm not sure what that particular movement was called, but my spiritual father, Brother Cam, was his ministry was beginning or in the midst of that, and God began to just move mightily and just saved a whole lot of people that you see today that are CEOs and business owners, and they're on leaders in churches. They were long-haired, shirtless, footless. I'm not footless, but shoeless, you know, ain't had a bath in 30 day, trying to find themselves, sexual revolution folks who found God. And so if we begin to put Christ back in Christmas and we begin to stand up for what the love of God and what it's about and that it's a gift, I want to encourage you, don't let this be stolen from you. Uh-huh. of all the times in American history, you know, let it be said of us that we used our last ounce of courage to do what was right. We fought to our last ounce of courage. We didn't just, I mean, because our children are going to ask us one day, what did you do with all this freedom that we had?
That's right.
Why didn't you understand what the supreme law of America was? Why didn't you even, you couldn't even pass the citizenship test. Mm. And you were, you know, why did you, what was going on with you? Why did you blow this thing? You know, and we're still on the left side of blow. We haven't ended up on the right side of it yet. Or, you know what I'm saying? It hadn't happened fully. And we can repent. Listen, God just wants us to repent. Oh. And the first repentance that we can do is saying, you know what, God, forgive me for accrediting somebody else on your birthday.
Oh.
Forgive me for making Christmas all about an opportunity that I could leverage other people to get their finances to buy me stuff that I could have what I wanted from my parents, from my spouse, from friends and family, and never once make it about you. Lord, forgive me for making Christmas about a huge monstrosity of lust and just devouring and spending. And, you know, Lord, forgive me for that.
Oh.
And I want to make it about what it is. It's about you. It's about the birth of the gift. It's about what happened to Mary in that cave when an angel that stands in the presence of God, Gabriel himself, showed up to this young girl, this young teenage girl named Mary, and said, listen, you found favor. You found favor, and God himself, his spirit, is going to hover over you, and you are going to conceive a son, and you're going to name him Jesus. He's going to be all man and all God. He will rule forever, and his kingdom will have no end. He will be, and he is today, the light of the world. We'll be right back. There is nothing, I meant nothing, Pat, worse than man's religion. Yeah. You know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right in my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. And that he's called us to walk in intimacy with him. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk? I mean, do you hear him? Do you know his voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God, which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk to you.
Right.
You know, and people want, they want this, but sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have the, a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because he says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this, you can do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something, you know what I'm saying? And watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and write there, request an abiding plan. Immediately, you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And you, it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you. You can write your own devotional. Listen, just try it for 6 weeks. Just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin. Because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit. You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time in a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. And just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you. You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org. It's time. Come on. It's time to follow God. It's time to read his word and do what it says. Listen, there's grace for that. There's mercy for that. I mean, walking with God, there's nothing more exciting than to be the church. Yes, the truth is, if the church doesn't grasp this revelation, we may lose our own country.
Right.
We may lose this freedom that God's given us. But lose it or not lose it. Listen, let me tell you something. The church is across the world. Every form of government is in all those different nations and the nation that you're in. But listen, the kingdom of God continues on no matter what. It's time to read the word and do what it says. Do you know, that's what Vine Fellowship Network does. You know, we just believe what God says and we begin to do it. You know, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches, you know, led by pastors, and that maybe you have inside of you, Lord's calling you to plant a church. You know, maybe in your city that you're called, you feel like the Lord's calling you to be able to plant a church. But guess what? That's not wrong to be able to advance the kingdom and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in your city, but you need to be connected, rightly related. You need to be have other brothers and sisters standing with you and to be trained, make disciples, teach them to obey all my teachings, Jesus said. You know, VFNU, we have everything available for you if we are for you. If God's calling you to relate to us, that's Vine Fellowship Network, or Vine Fellowship Network, or VFNFamily.org. VFNFamily.org. Listen, that is not wrong what you're seeking to do, but you got to make sure it can't be just done any old way. You have to do it in a way that you're covered and rightly related, and you have people standing with you who understand that this is a God thing. This is what he wants, to go into all the world and preach the good news of the kingdom, and those who believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all my commandments. Check it out, vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org. You know, VFN Radio and VFN TV, you know, we are a Christian. We're Christians bringing to you a conversation. We're not a news core. We're just saying, you know, what's going on from what we understand, and just kind of sharing our opinion about it and what God's laying on our heart. We believe that God speaks through his word. We believe God speaks through dreams and visions and words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And with that, we bring together sometimes what we call God's news behind the news. What we're doing is bringing to you, based on what we personally have experienced or feel in our heart, because God's word says every man knows in part and prophesies in part. And we're encouraging you, hoping to stir, you know, what God's saying to you inside of you, that you can hear that. We're not saying that we are a news organization. Things that we're talking about, that we are hearing, that is our opinion that we're sharing with you. And God has an opinion, you know, and yes, we're trying to tap into what he's saying, and hopefully, you know, being able to share that because of his word. And so I just want to clarify that that's what VFN TV and VFN Radio is. We're here to encourage you. It's to the church, which are believers. We are speaking out to those that have gone astray, and we're kind of encouraging you to come back, and those that are being led to the Lord. I mean, God's drawing you, and we're talking to you. We're not speaking at large to, you know, whosoever. You know, we're actually talking to those that God is has as his own, that he's drawing to himself, and those that have gone astray. And we're just sharing our opinion, you know, what God has laid on our heart. I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart, and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together, and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is, when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep, and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance, where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things, because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today. What we're finding out, that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham, when he began to work and do what was going on, he would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now, and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 900, one-sixth of the world's population that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces a someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. If you didn't hear the first half of the first hour, I'm telling you, it's going to really encourage you. It's going to remind you of what Christmas is about and give you permission to say, you know what? You know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm going to dive That's in. Right. I'm going to make it all about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, how was your weekend?
It was very, very good. Very, very good. Had a chance to spend some time with my sons and hung out a little bit.
Oh, cool.
Really good.
I saw that comic book. I like that.
Yeah, wasn't that cool?
Where was that at?
And also at the Family Christian Bookstore. They have these individual comic books that basically are stories in the Bible. And the quality is just amazing. So don't want to give out too many secrets because, you know, people may be listening to VFN radio.
Really? Well, I do know that one particular comic was about Elijah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it was pretty cool because Elijah was like dealing with some issues that was going on, and on the drawing it was pretty cool. You know, it's also, you know, we talk about zero tolerance, and there'll be more about that in the future, obviously. That you know, Jehu, he went too far. Jehu went too far. I don't know if you guys know that or not.
Yeah.
God felt like he went way too far in how he dealt with God's people. And mm-hmm. it should put a, you know, God is so kind and he's so merciful. And we have to be really careful, even though he's correcting us. He's correcting us, and it may be a hard time. He loves us and does not want to lose us. And he does not rejoice in losing any man, any mm-hmm. human being. And mm-hmm. and even when we're at our worst, God never leaves being his best. And so you have to be really careful how we deal with them, even to the epitome of how so many were loyal to Ahab and Jezebel and what was going on at the time. God did not want them dealt with as harshly, you know, as he did with the people when he threw the big party for Baal and all that was going on.
Yeah, he kept going all the way.
I mean, he kept going all the way, like almost like a son of thunder would, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So those that are listening, they're sons of thunder. We have to love them. You know, calm down. Don't take everybody out. You don't want to be a, you know, things cut off in the future. And, you know, people suffered in the future and mm-hmm. the future generations because of how rough they were, how rough he was, you know, with God's people. I mean, if all God wants is repentance. And so if people repent, you know, that's what we want. That's what I want. I want to repent. We want them to repent. And that's good. That's it. That's enough. And that's what God's always looking for. I have something so encouraging. Speaking of God's news behind the news, CBN News reports, you know, they're talking about generation identity in France is waging war against the Islamization of France. And we've talked about it before. And you can go to the Via Fintorch and type in Islam and learn a lot about Islam. We've talked about it. And it's not the fact that having there's thousands of religions on the earth. But if your religion is about, you know, killing us, doing away with our constitution and taking over, I mean, sorry, I mean, that's not a good thing.
No, it's
I mean,
not.
Granted, the church has done some things like that in history and they were wrong and they've repented for it. Mm-hmm. But just because they were wrong doesn't mean that, you know, you judge everything everybody by that. But understand it's real cool. It's called Generation Identities, Young People. And they actually invaded a mosque in France because France is really, we talked about this before, how, you know, the Islam is taking over through migration, you know, and they're immigrating, you know, thousands of millions into different nations. And just through birth and really migration, they're taking over democracies. And once you get the numbers there, of course, and France has began to be so friendly to them, supposedly they're, you know, they're trying to be I forget the word that they would use, but it was dominating, you know, Islam. They began to favor caliphates, not caliphates, but Islamic law.
It's out of all the countries in Europe, it's reported that France is the country that's most populated by Muslims and what you're speaking about right now. I mean,
yeah, and what happened is that they have no go zones in their own country because they allowed Islam to come in like they're coming. They have no go zones that you cannot even go in those areas because you'll be hurt.
Wow.
You know, and then you have the veiled, you know, faces. It's like in America, you can't even wear a hat and glasses into a bank, you know, because they want to be able to know who's coming into the bank. But now you have, and the reason why is because everybody that wears a hat and glasses are not bad, but bad people do wear a hat and glasses so they cannot be identified. Because of that, we need to be, you know, live in a culture that says, you know, show your face, you know, show your face. And all this facial recognition is like, can you recognize like, come on. It's not the fact that it's another religion. It's the very fact that religion would say those are loyal to what, you know, loyalists to the Quran that says that it's either convert, servitude, or death. I mean, that's the ultimate thing. And the caliphate is what you're seeing try to push around Israel right now. But France, the young people, which is so encouraging because the young Egyptians are very encouraging to what I'm seeing happen in Egypt, where they're just normal. They're looking at this and they're looking at it the way we would look at it and just go, hey, you know, what are you doing? We had a democracy. We're heading the way of democracy. And now the Muslim Brotherhood is trying to take over and make it a dictatorship. That's what we just came out of, and they're openly, while they're showing their faces, saying we don't want this. And you know, I wouldn't condone, you know, burning things down and stuff, but they attacked the Muslim Brotherhood offices and you know, ransacked them and all that. And now they're saying that, you know, it's reportedly saying that allegedly that no matter what, Morsi, the president of Egypt, they're still going to rig the whole thing, and this constitution is still going to pass. You know, surprise.
Five
Can
days.
You believe that? Yeah, on the 15th. But here you got France. You know, France is, they thought you can just all get along. You know, the Rodney King situation, we said, why don't we all get along? Well, you know, the thing about America, and this is one thing we have to, in the original tent of America, if we don't get this, and France didn't get it, and the young people are getting it now, they're realizing, listen, it's not wrong to be loyal to France. You know, the French young people are saying, it's not wrong to be loyal to France.
That's right.
And Americans should be saying it's not wrong to be loyal to America. That's why we say I pledge allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, and that we're a representative government, and it's okay to stand up for America and the Constitution and realize if somebody comes in here in America, including somebody who even calls himself a Christian, and says they're trying to take over the government and make it a theocracy, you know, that's the end of America as we know it. That is, you know, Jesus, you know, was not his ministry and his life was not in the time of some republic form of government or some democracy. It was a king. It was a king. It was Rome in there. It was, you know, governors and, mm-hmm. you know, Pontius Pilate and the whole crew. It's so irrelevant in the right. context of that. But in America, the Constitution allows us to stand up and fight for a country that allows, though we're many, we're one, e pluribus unum. And you can't allow people to come into your nation who's not for your Constitution or for your country. They're not loyal yeah. to France. And the young people are going, hello. And their banners are saying 732. And 732 is when Charles Martel or something, Charles Martel, one of their generals in the past or whatever, defeated an Islamic invasion that it came in.
Oh, wow.
And they're saying, listen, we've got to defeat this. This is an invasion taking place. And it's an invasion if they're trying to take over your country.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, listen, if you want an Islamic nation, hey, find you one. And, you know, there's plenty of nations that would be okay with that. Why come and take a democracy or a republic or you take France? And the thing is because in their minds, how they feel with their God, is that that's how they are supposed to do. They're supposed to take over, physically take over people and put them in servitude, physically get them to convert or do away with them. They're supposed to physically take over. Now, with Christians, we talk about the kingdom of God spreads through the hearts of men. We want to win their hearts and that God's temple is not a building. We need to get over that, mm-hmm. that it's people and that that's God right. dwells inside of us. But these young people are so encouraging. They're calling themselves Generation Identity, you know, and we got to regain our identity is what they're saying, and say we're losing our country. They're saying we got no go zones, no go zones. They're talking about this global village and this a family of man. It's crazy. They're saying it doesn't work. You know, we have to be French. We have to be loyal to France, and it's like, oh my, it's encouraging because that means the young people, you know, may say, wait a minute. You know, when you find out that you're losing everything to these people who are invading your country, you're losing your constitution. And we're in the early stages of that. But the way it's looking, it could be the rug jerked out from under us. And if we lose some constitution or our constitutional rights, it wouldn't be long before this thing is going on.
You know, what's encouraging, talking about the Constitution, I even saw over the weekend someone on Fox News pulling out their own constitution, you know, and reading the constitution on air, saying, let's look at this. Let's, you know, we started a conversation about the importance of the constitution, talking about pledging allegiance. The word allegiance means loyalty or devotion. And it's like, listen, if you're going to pledge allegiance to the United States, you need to pledge, you need to know what the word means. If you're going to become a citizen, you got to know what it means.
Exactly. And it's not wrong. It's mm-hmm. not wrong. And you have to understand, and we we're going to do the citizenship test again, the next five questions on it in the
Yay.
extra hour. But understand this, it's not wrong for the president, when he gets into office, he has to swear an oath that he will defend the Constitution of the United States from enemies, foreign and domestic. The Constitution, why? Because it's the supreme law of the land. When the Congress and the Senate, you know, when they get sworn into their political offices for their particular terms, they have to swear an oath. I swear mm-hmm. to protect and defend the Constitution. Why? Because mm-hmm. it's our supreme law from enemies, foreign and domestic. And on and on and on, all the way down to new citizens coming into the country. They have to swear not only to fight for it, but they have to serve it. They become a citizen. You have to say, I'm willing to go and fight and serve in the military forces to mm-hmm. fight for this country. And I think it'd be good for everybody to serve time, you know, like Israel, you know, in the IDF, that they serve two years in it, because it puts a loyalty back
Absolutely.
In you and puts things in right order about what this thing is all about. And we have, it's not wrong for Christians to be loyal to Jesus Christ, and it's not wrong for Americans to be loyal to America. And let me tell you something, as Christians, the American Constitution gives us liberties that no other nation gives the church.
Mm-hmm.
And why would we want to give it up? You know, why would we want to give up those liberties that allow us to gather without any kind of threat of being in prison, that allows us to be able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ without them coming and editing our sermons or mm-hmm. telling us mm-hmm. what we can do and how long our broadcast can be and The very fact that I'm talking to you on VFN radio or through VFN TV is the fact because the U.S. Supreme Law of the Land, the Constitution and the First Amendment allows me to be able to do that, and you to be able to listen to it openly in your offices and your, you know, wherever you are, is because the Supreme Law of the Land, the U.S. Constitution, allows you to be able to do that.
In contrast, in China, they have a government state-run church. The government tells them what to preach.
That's exactly it. Wow. And the true church is underground, mm-hmm. you know, having to be underground. And that would be a shame to end up having to go underground in America because we allowed it to be able to go. So I'm just so encouraged by, you know, Generation Identity. You can find out more about that on the VFN Torch. There's also an interview with them that'll be made available to you on the VFN Torch. You got to see it. And they're releasing a video. These young people said, this is a declaration of war. Mm. Wow. That we've got to make war to say, you know, you're going to have to be loyal to France or you're going to have to get out. That's exactly what our Constitution says. That's exactly what, mm-hmm. when you swear an allegiance to America and become a citizen, it says not only do you have to say these things are true, but you have to bear fruit that they're true in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. It's like, got to bear fruit, man. It's like, sounds like the church.
Yeah, right.
You got to bear fruit. We got to see that your life lines up with what you profess. And if somebody, you know, says what's right, but you are totally against our freedoms and against what's going on. I mean, when you see something like the healthcare law, when they're telling, you know, I don't know if it's Zondervan, I don't know what the particular Bible printer is. It's Tyndale.
Thomas Nelson?
It could be Thomas. No, it's Tyndale House. Tyndale House, I think. But whatever it is, it's a publisher of Christian materials and Bibles. And they're saying that, of course, with this new policy and this new healthcare law, that they're going to have to buy healthcare that allows to pay for abortions, and they're protesting it, and they're taking it to court. And you're talking about the Catholic social services in the same situation. Well, they're violating the constitutional right of the First Amendment that says the government can make no law. So yes, the healthcare law is a law, but it can make no law in regards to the church, which says, okay, great, you can make all these laws, but in regards to the church and religion, mm-hmm. you can't make those laws. So that's a constitutional. And remember, we learned this in our citizenship test. It says no one's above the law.
That's right.
And so the president, Congress, and the judicial branch, they're not above the law. You cannot just trump the Constitution here. As a matter of fact, you're supposed to fight against and defend it from enemies of it. And you're being an enemy of it when you're violating people's rights and you're saying, hey, we're going to make a law that says your religion has to violate your beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And it
mm-hmm.
says the government shall make no laws. It's the First Amendment. And so they can't make a law without violating the Constitution. And, you know, it's obviously going to be one in courts. What they're going to do is start trying to define religion. You can't define. And this is, if the church keeps on making the church about a building and about an organization, you know, we're going to lose this battle. But if you make the church about what it is about human beings who love God and where two or more are gathered in his name, that's when Christ is amongst us mm-hmm. and ruling amongst us. And that's the church. If you go back to what, I mean, you're going to have to get rid of this building thing and this mindset, your conversation, because they're going to make it about a building
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and the church is going to lose out. And all of a sudden you're going to find people trying to come up with some organization to be able to get the protection instead of saying, my goodness, we had the protection under Jesus Christ. We should have just remained the church.
That's right.
You know, and so all these, and I thank God for ACLUJ, you know, that it was birthed under Pat Robinson's Regent University, when he began to train up the lawyers. And that's what we need, right? Man, we need some missionary lawyers now like never before. We need thousands of them in every single state. We need thousands of them standing before county judges and state judges and city councils and school boards. If anything we need right now, we need the church to repent. And a repented church, you know, we need to have lawyers, people who understand the law, and for God, and to begin to fight for our constitutional rights, to stand up for little Timmy at school and the cheerleaders who want to be able to put a scripture on a banner, that, you know, all these different things. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.